Hello, I'm Jo Fidgen, and this is Outlook, introducing you to extraordinary people around the world. Today, British boxer Jane Couch, who in 2008 attended a very unusual funeral for her own career.
I got a little wooden box, put a few pictures in there of like people that was really bad to me in boxing, and just a few little other little trinket bits, and a little badge that I'd got from America. I put that in there, walked up to the graveyard, and next to this grave there was like a little patch on its own, so I thought, right, I'll do it here. Said the Lord's Prayer, went through a few things in my head, dig a little hole and put the box in. And as I walked away, it was like a weight had just been lifted off my shoulders. It was the strangest thing.
Jane had had a fantastic career, world champion five times. So why did she want to bury it all? Well, because it had been deeply traumatic. When she'd got into the sport, it was illegal in Britain for women to box. Jane was determined to fight the ban and took a lot of flak for it.
Why box, Jane? Do you enjoy hurting people?
Women are not men, but they just won't have the same attraction as men fighting.
Now, did no one ever say to you at any stage in your life, but Jane, this is not what little girls do. Girls look after people, they don't hurt each other.
The woman's proper place is in the family and home.
Not only is it dangerous, but it is undignified, and quite frankly, I think it's an abomination.
Were you always a fighter?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Fleetwood, so Fleetwood's a fishing town in the north of England, right by the sea, and it was a tough childhood. You know, your dad went to sea for 3 weeks and your mum was just trying to get by and survive. But it, even though it was hard and there was no money, it was still a good childhood. And my brother always used to say, you've got to look after yourself, you've got to be able to look after yourself, you know, because our dad had left and there was just me, Tom and my mum.
Tom was your brother, was he?
Tom's my brother, yeah. And my brother was in a punk rock band. So there was always boys in the house and punk rockers, and I was always toy fighting with them and playing with them because my brother's older. So it just all started from that, really.
When did the play fighting become a kind of real fight that you realised that you were pretty good at?
Well, yeah, even the play fighting turned into fist fighting in our street because we was always falling out like the football, or someone broke the window. So we used to settle it with a fight. That's just how we used to settle things. Or my brother had said to me, right, go and fight him over there and I'll give you a pound.
And how would you do against the boys?
Yeah, I was all right against the boys. Yeah, I was pretty good. I didn't beat them all, but most of them. I was quite strong for my age. I was quite a tough little girl.
what were your opportunities? What kind of future were you looking forward to?
In a fishing town in the north of England, growing up in the 70s, you didn't really have a future. The future would have been, if you was a boy, you go to sea, and if you was a girl, you would go into the fishing industry, either filleting fish or packing fish or something to do with the fishing industry. So you didn't really have any aspirations, but because my brother was in the band, we used to go places and come back and tell me what they were like, because it was a very small town that we lived in. We'd sit in our bedroom and just have these dreams of one day leaving Fleetwood and making it big.
Where did the idea of boxing as a way out come from?
You see, and that was weird, because it wasn't until I was like 22, 23 and I saw a documentary on Channel 4. And it was about two women boxing in America. Christy Martin was fighting the Irish girl, Deirdre Gogarty. And I was watching it and I was like, wow, I wish I could have done that when I was younger. And then I kept carried on watching it. And I thought, well, they're not young. I mean, they was in the 20s, late 20s at the time. So the next day I went to the local boxing gym. And me dad's friend was the boxing trainer there. So I knocked on the door and asked him, could I come training with the boys tonight? He said, you can't, you're a girl. I was like, I've seen it on telly. He went, you can only do it in America. And I said, well, can I not just come and join in? In the end, I talked him round, because he was my dad's friend, and he let me in. But the boss of the gym then wasn't too impressed with him, because he was an amateur boxing trainer and his job was to train the boys, not girls. So they kicked him out of the gym. Oh. And then, Yeah, because in them days, I mean, it was not like it is now. It was like, you can't train a woman boxer. It was just unheard of. You know, it was just something that was so different for them. But to me, even though it was different, I just knew it was what I wanted to do.
But you knew that you weren't allowed to do it in the UK, did you?
Yeah, well, I knew it was illegal, but I just didn't expect the fight that was to come.
No. So this, you know, friendly trainer trained you when he could, but what about the other people you were training against, presumably boys and men? What do they make of you?
I think I was just like, not a freak, but I'd be trying to skip, learning to skip, and they'd be laughing, and not in a horrible way, but I think they just put up with me and they just thought that I was going to go away. But as the weeks went on and I was picking up the things they were telling me, they became as interested as me in it. And then they was going, well, how are you going to get a fight? And they started to help me more and more. And one of the boys I used to spar with, Mark Bennett, was a very good amateur. So he would help me all the time. And we used to just go and spar anywhere on the beach, under the pier, just for him to help me improve so I'd be able to get in the ring, because I knew I wouldn't be able to box in England and I knew that I'd have to go up against girls with a lot more experience. So I thought, well, if I train with him and he teaches me and I can get as good as him, I'll be able to take on girls with more fights and be okay.
How did you get your first fight, given that, you know, there weren't meant to be other women in the UK boxing?
Well, my first fight was an unlicensed fight. So unlicensed fights are similar to professional boxing, except there's not the medical procedures in place. So you would turn up, I turned up at a nightclub in Wigan to fight a policewoman, and you go in and they say, how do you feel? Yeah, I'm all right. Look in your eyes, stick your tongue out. Oh, yeah, you're all right, go and fight. So the medical side of it wasn't great, but I didn't care, just wanted to fight. And because it was an underground fight, you're just doing it in like a little nightclub somewhere, which was great. I mean, I just wanted to get in the ring. I would have got in the ring anywhere. It wouldn't have mattered to me.
So there were, you know, spectators?
There was about 800 people in there.
Wow,
because they've got all different fights on, and then they just stuck us on in the middle.
How did you get on against the policewoman?
Yeah, I beat the policewoman. I stopped her in two rounds, and then I went on to have another three fights like that. But the opposition wasn't maybe as good as what it was in America at the time. So I just moved to Bristol, and as I moved to Bristol, I was offered a world title fight in Denmark against a girl that had had 27 fights and 27 knockouts.
Wow!
And I'd had four unlicensed fights. So the preparation wasn't the best, but I still did it. But I just did it on sheer heart and determination.
And so you were not meant to win that fight, were you? She had that experience and that success rate.
Oh, yeah, no, there was no way you was meant to win. I mean, the French president was at ringside, Jacques Chirac, was it, at the time?
Jacques Chirac?
Yeah, and he was waiting at the ringside to give her the belt because the opponent was French, and he was waiting at ringside with the world title belt, and they just assumed that she was going to knock me out or just win in a couple of rounds.
And the president had turned up to see the match.
There was a few dignitaries there from France. It wasn't just him. There was a few big, real big players from France there. But like at the time, I didn't know. I'd just come out of Fleetwood and just turned up in this big hall with this live television audience of 3.4 million. And I don't know how I did it. I just, very, very strong-minded and very determined, and I just never give up.
And you won the title?
I won the world title.
You did go to hospital, I think, as did your opponent.
Yeah, we both went to hospital. We both had to be treated after. I had a broken nose, fractured cheekbone, fractured eye socket, broken jaw, two teeth missing, broken hand, broken wrist, fractured rib.
You should have seen the other woman.
Yeah, she wasn't in a good way either.
Oh dear. So did the French president have to give you the belt then?
I didn't know. He decided to give it someone else to give me.
Oh, wait. So after that title then, what were your expectations of how this was going to change things for you?
So then you win the world title, and don't forget, over there the audience was thousands, and it was a big arena, and they had all the professional boxers, male professional boxers on there. So I just assumed that I'm world champion now, so when I get back to England tomorrow, they'll all be waiting at the airport, and saying, well done, Jane, I can't believe you did it against all the odds, and the press would be there. And I remember saying to Steve at the airport, Steve was a friend of mine that had flown over from Fleetwood to watch me fight, and he used to promote the unlicensed shows in Fleetwood, and he said, there might be a few there, but don't expect too much because it's still illegal there, isn't it? I was like, nah, it's been on TV, it'll be all in the papers, it'll be fine. Anyway, we gets back to Heathrow and there was no one there.
No one there to meet like, you at all?
No one, no. And I was thinking, wow, I need to make it legal. I don't want to do this going abroad all the time and coming back to people don't even know. I'm walking through the airport smashed up, and they probably think like someone's beat me up in the street or something. It just wasn't nice. And then I got the boxing news, which comes out on the Friday, and all the fights were in there, all the male fights, and they left mine out. So I rang the boxing news editor and I said, you put all the men's fights in there and I won the world title that night. He goes, we don't report on women boxing. So that's when I thought, this needs to change.
So you took this very bold course of action, which is that you went to court to challenge the British Boxing Board of Control. This was 1998.
It was, yeah. The case was years in the making, you know, because I did a TV interview and there was a London solicitor called Sarah Leslie, and she was watching the interview and she contacted me at the farm where I was training, and she said, I can't believe that you can't box in your own country and you're already a world champion and they can't stop you. She said, that governing body cannot stop you doing it, and if I go back to London and get you the right lawyer, do you want to go to court? I said, yeah, all right then. That's how it all started.
Britain's top woman boxer, Jane Couch, has gone to an industrial tribunal to accuse the boxing authorities of sex discrimination for refusing her a professional licence. Her lawyer said,
Jane Couch, also known as the Fleetwood Assassin, is the women's welterweight champion of the world, but has been banned from boxing professionally in her own country. She says the British Boxing Board of Control refused her a licence simply because she's a woman.
So when you got to court then, what were the main arguments against women being able to box?
The main argument from the Boxing Board of Control was that women suffer with PMT.
With premenstrual tension.
Yeah, which then makes them unstable and it makes them more accident prone. And at the time, my barrister, Dinah Rose, QC, had just come back from having a baby, gone back into law, into the QC world, and she stood up and she said, it makes women unstable, that's what you're saying. And he said, yeah. And she said, God forbid we should ever look after children. And then halfway through the case, they called us into the back and they said, the Boxing Board of Control want to settle out of court because they was just getting laughed at. And the world's media was there. And Dinah Rose said, we're not settling out of court, we're having our day in court.
They call her the Fleetwood Assassin, and today Jane Couch beat off the challenge from her biggest opponent to date, the rulers of British boxing. She'd claimed sex discrimination against the Boxing Board of Control over its refusal to grant her a licence to fight professionally. The tribunal's ruling in her favour means she'll reapply for a licence tomorrow and hopes to fight in Britain within weeks.
This was a big victory, huh?
It was a massive, it was the last male bastion that we knocked down. It was a massive victory. The barrister, Dinah Rose, QC, she said to me on the way out of the court, she got hold of me and pulled me back and she said, Jane, I think your fight's only just beginning. And I never knew what she meant because I thought, now I've got the licence. Like, when I won the world title, I thought, right, I've got the world title, everything's going to change and I'm going to start boxing properly and earning money. And then when I won the case, I thought the same thing. Right, I've got the licence now, women are allowed to box. That promoters are all going to put me on the shows and they're going to think it's great. But they never.
What happened?
They just shunned me, really. They just all closed the doors because they was all, you know, with the Boxing Board of Control and the promoters, they all worked together. So because I'd beaten the Boxing Board of Control, then the promoters wouldn't have been favoured if they'd have put me on the show. So, yeah, it was just back to square one, really. And then after the case, reading the papers, it was saying, lawyers look like lesbians and it's disgusting that women are going to be allowed to box and if a female dies in the ring, it'll be the end of boxing. The whole publicity stuff was just, it was just vile.
There'll probably be a novelty value to start with. I think there'll be a, and obviously, I think there's just this sort of sexist thing as well. You know, these dirty old men going to go along and watch these fights, watch these ladies, you know, knocking seven bells or whatever out of each other. But I think you'll find a level. And I think once that novelty value has ended, I don't think it'll be that successful anyway.
We think that the woman's place is now considered as a laughing matter. The woman's proper place is in the family and home, being a good husband, being a good wife and mother.
Someone put him back in his cave.
Women are made to be mothers, and I think men are
still being a mother.
Right. Even now, I say to myself, what was you doing? Why did you carry on? You know, why did I don't know why I carried on. But then I always remember saying to my brother in the bedroom in Albert Street when we was kids, we was dreaming of big things and he was dreaming of being a rock star. I always said to him, my mum, I said, I'm going to do something big. I just don't know what it is. And that day, that came back to me, what I said. I'm going to do something big. And I thought, come on, Jane, just keep going. As hard as it was, and as hungry as I was, and as lonely as I was, I just couldn't give in. I couldn't stop what I was doing. Mm. It was like I had to do it, and I had to go through that pain. I don't know. It was the strangest thing.
How did your first licensed fight feel? Did it feel any different?
It didn't feel any different. I mean, I'd boxed all over the world on national TV alongside some of the most famous boxers in the world. So boxing in London with, again, the world's media there, was water off a duck's back to me. But it was just different because it was the first ever one.
Caesar's Palace made a piece of boxing history last night. Not the world-famous Las Vegas venue, but a nightclub of the same name in South London. It staged the first ever professional women's boxing match in Britain, and Jane Couch needed a little over 3 minutes to beat 18-year-old German Simona Lukic.
I think now the first one's out of the way, we can get on and do a good job and do boxing. This is about boxing, so let's promote the sport of boxing.
This fight certainly ends Jane Couch's battle to legitimise women's boxing in Britain. However, the nature of her win here, in front of a distinctly bemused crowd, suggests it'll be some time before women in the ring become anything more than a sporting curiosity.
You had to retire a few years later because there were signs of brain damage.
Yeah, I failed the brain scan on, because every year when you're a professional boxer, you have to have an MRI scan. So if there's a change in the brain, the scan would pick it up. And when I went for my last brain scan, they said there was significant change. So I'm not quite brain damaged, but I could have been, you know, seriously hurt if I'd have carried on. And I still struggle a bit with the memory and stuff today, but I manage it, you know.
How was retiring?
It was hard, and when all you've done is get up, train, eat, sleep, get up, train, eat, sleep, travel, you know. I've got no education, I couldn't read or write properly, and I'm 41, got no money. What do I do? I felt like that was at the bottom of, say, like a 50-foot well, and there was no way up. The only way up was to put your fingers into the wall and your nails and scrape your way up all that way. And that's exactly how it felt. It was horrendous. And you've got to remember, I was 5 times world champion. I had the MBE. I'd made women boxing legal. Yeah. And I'm expected to walk into a job centre and sign on the door.
Just to explain for an international audience, so the MBE is an award from the Queen for good service. And signing on the door, claiming unemployment benefit.
A lot of it was my fault because I was too stubborn to go and sign on the door, because I was embarrassed. I'm like, they all think I'm a millionaire and that I've done okay. So I just did without. I just lived, like, more or less sofa surfing with friends and was drinking and just trying to get by and just trying to get through life. But right at that time, I didn't think that I'll be here today.
What did it take for you to admit to yourself that you were having a mental breakdown?
I couldn't have gone any lower than I was, so... And then I'd met Brian, the love of my life, and I think that was the key to say, do you know what? You could have a good life. You could be happy again. And just go for it, Jane. And he was so supportive of me and so good that it really helped me.
That must have been around the time then that you carried out a funeral for your career.
Yeah, I was with Brian when I carried out the funeral.
Yeah.
I was in a dark, dark place, and that's not me, you know. I'm really happy-go-lucky, and I don't need a lot of money.
Somewhat belatedly, maybe, but there has now been recognition for what you achieved. And, you know, women's boxing is thriving in the UK. Nicola Adams won gold at the 2012 Olympics, which I think was the first time that women's boxing had been in the competition. And when she won, she said, thanks to you for making it possible.
Yeah, and listen, that day when the girls was all fighting for the medals, it was such a proud day, you know. It was, I'm like, do you know what? All that was worth it, just to see the look on their faces as well. It you know, it was really lovely to see, and that helped me as much as I made it possible for them. They helped me too, because people were going, you done that, Jane, you done that. I was like, yeah, I did, didn't I? And then you start feeling good again about yourself.
And now your book is being turned into a TV programme. Your life's going to be on the screen. What are you hoping it will achieve?
I don't know. I'd like people to see the struggle and to see that back in that day how badly you were treated. And not only that, if you watch something like that and then you're boxing in today's world, if I achieved 5 world titles and an MBE with nothing and with no help and no support and nothing, imagine what they could do these days. If a young girl these days now watches that story and sees the opportunities that she's got, imagine what they're going to achieve.
Jane Couch, MBE, the world champion boxer who fought not only in the ring, but against a British establishment who were dead set against women boxing at all. Her book is called The Final Round. Now here's something else to get you thinking.
The Compass is the BBC World Service podcast that explores big ideas.
We have a tendency in science, when we talk about the intelligence of animals, to go for things that we are good at. So we are good at language. If you have a talking ape, people are extremely impressed, or a talking parrot for that matter. But other skills we don't care much about.
And how those big ideas shape the world around us.
Animals are more or less a symbol of an economic system that has a dead end, that it's all focused on production and consumption. Animals are suffering and we do not take care of each other anymore.
The Compass Podcast from the BBC World Service.
She's an intelligent, social, autonomous being. She needs her freedom.
Search for The Compass wherever you get your podcasts.